Hi there, this is Jacob Msipa, the senior pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. Let's get into the Word of God this morning. Hallelujah. We have started with our theme for the month, the salvation of your soul. And last week we started things off with the subject, the redemption of your soul. Because God, through the blood of Jesus, bought back our souls. The redemption of our souls simply declares uguti, we our souls now belong to God. God did not hold a gun against Satan's head to take back our souls. He did that through the right channel of paying the price that was owed by our souls. Because the Bible says, every soul that sins shall die. So for him to take back our souls from the power of the grave, hell itself, he had to pay the price with the precious blood of his son. And he took back our souls. That is what the redemption of the soul is all about. And God's desire is to make our souls whole. Because if my soul and your soul is not whole, it will reflect in our lives. It will be seen in our marriages. It will be seen in our careers. It will be seen in our callings. It will be seen in our families. Because everything around my life is a direct reflection of the condition of my soul. All the bad things that are happening out there are not necessarily happening because, you know, or by mistake, or it's because of the condition of the souls of men and women. Anything that you end up doing in life flows from your heart. The Bible clearly says it, that all of these works that we see, good and bad, and if they are bad, they flow from a bad, dead, rotten soul. That's why sometimes if we want to stop doing certain things, we can't get ourselves to stop. Because that's how we are in our souls. Are we here? So that's why then God, particularly for us as Christians, it's important for him. It's important to him that we must be saved even in our souls. And that's our subject this morning, the salvation of your soul. Psalm 17 and verse number 13. Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down, save my soul from the wicked with your sword. What a scripture. Save my soul from the wicked with your sword. Save my soul from the wicked with your sword. It was the prayer that the psalmist was making here, realizing that there is a wicked one out there our enemy, our adversary, who is after our soul. The reason why there are raging battles within our souls today is because kukhona mubi. Satan mumbi. Mubi. Ufana nengulube pswe. Angena ndaba nawe. Umubi. Ufana nengulube pswe. Angena ndaba nawe. Fine Satan konje inu kuthi. Izwa le model si lithi ukukhunyisa. Ikokometsha. Ikokometsha. Umubi. Ufana nengulube pswe. Angena ndaba nawe. My God. Azibuza ukuthi lo mfundisi ubuyaphi? Uye lo akekho omunye. I'm happy today. Yeah. Yalazi le ngulo le lisho njalo.
I'm happy, happy, happy.
I'm happy. Inkinga yakho yi 2000. That's the problem. Pray for me, eh? Pray for me. Tell your neighbor and say, this pastor is very naughty. I'll see 2000 mara ngiyakusukela ne. Uyi something. The most important prayer that you and I can ever pray is the prayer of intercession. Praying for others. It's good to pray for your own blessings. It's good to pray for your own breakthrough, healing, favor. But it's even better to pray for others. That's why the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, therefore I exhort first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Not for yourself, but for all men. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Take note how Paul takes time to show us different aspects that must be involved when we are praying for people. So in other words, he is suggesting that we are not supposed to rush through. He's talking about supplications. In other words, petitioning God on behalf of others, bringing the needs of other people before God. And he says prayers, and he says intercessions, and he says the giving of thanks for all men. Just to go before God and say, Lord, I thank you for so and so. I thank you for what you are doing in their lives. But it is even much more better if our prayer of intercession is for the salvation of those people that we are praying for. It's one thing to pray for a person to be blessed with a car. But if that person is not yet saved, your first priority actually should be to pray for their salvation. Because it will not help for God to give them a car and then they die and go to hell with that car. That's why the Bible continues to say in verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What is good? To pray for other people. Who desires all men to be saved. So whenever I approach God to pray for other people, I must remember that God's desire for those people is that they may be saved. Even though God desires that they will prosper, even though God desires that they will be healed, but God desires more, He desires more that they will be saved. So if there are people who are not saved in my family, God gives me the responsibility to stand in the gap, to intercede on behalf of those people. That's why if you read our daily devotions, after praying for everything that we pray for, every day there is one prayer point for the salvation of our family members, salvation of our friends, salvation of our colleagues, salvation of our community, salvation of our leaders. Why? Because if we do not stand in the gap and pray for people, it will be difficult for the gospel to reach them. As a matter of fact, the reason why you and I are saved and born again today, it is simply because there were other people who were standing in the gap on our behalf, praying day and night that our hearts will be opened. Praying day and night that whenever we hear the message of the gospel being preached, our ears will be opened, our hearts will be receptive, and we will believe and be born again. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself stands in the gap. He prays day and night before God. Praying, the Bible says, for the transgressors. That's why God is so patient with us. Because when Jesus ascended into the heavenly places, seated at His right hand, He did not just sit for the sake of sitting, but He is interceding for the transgressors. He is praying that God will not punish us and kill us before we are saved. He is constantly standing. So whenever we are praying for people to be saved, we are joining hands with Jesus to do what is important to Him. Because this is God's desire. God desires to see every man and woman being saved out there. Salvation is not only for you and I. It's also for others who are out there. Salvation is not for the selected few. The Bible says God desires for all men to be saved. Listen to what Hebrews 7 verse 25 says. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him. Since He always lives to make intercession for them. Connect the dots. He is able to save since He is making intercession for them. He is able to save since He is making intercession for them. He is able to save since he is making intercession for them. So even as the church, we will never be able to save people with the message of the gospel unless we are making intercession for them. You can never lead your family to Christ unless you are making intercession for them. You will never have compassion and passion for the lost unless you are making intercession for them. Your passion and zeal for the lost begins on the altar of prayer and intercession. Unless you are praying for your community to be saved, you can never be passionate about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because people's hearts are hard. Our eyes are blinded by the God of this world. And we need to be moved with compassion. Whenever you visit your family, you see them not following God. You see them still involved in ancestral worship. You see them still lost in tradition and culture. Before you judge them, before you condemn them, before you send them to hell, before you call them names, pray for them. Because you were not saved because you were righteous. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, pray for your family. When you walk away after you have heard that they are doing this and that, go and weep before God for them. Pray that God will take them out of that darkness. Pray that God will deliver them from that darkness until they can see light. Because they are not doing this because they know what they are doing. That's why Jesus, even on the cross, he could say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. That's our responsibility as the church. But then we need to understand that not only does the Bible say God desires for all men to be saved. Take note. If you continue to verse 4, then it says, he desires all men to be saved, but so that they may also come to the knowledge of the truth. Because our salvation begins with freedom in our spirit. But we are not totally saved until our souls are liberated. And the only way our souls can be liberated, it is through the knowledge of the truth. Because we are held captive by the lies and the deception of the devil. And the unfortunate part of it is that we come to God, we surrender our spirits to him, we experience freedom in our spirit. But because in our soul, we are still holding on to the lies and the deceit. Look, and as human beings, we have a tendency to be passionate about the things we have adopted and we believe in. And we hold them dear to our hearts. That's why, even though we are free spiritually, but we are still bound in our soul. And if we are bound in our soul, we still live our lives according to the dictates of the devil. So what happens is the devil controls our lives with a remote control. Because there's still a sensor in us of his lies that we are still holding on to. We refuse to know the truth. Whenever the truth of God's word is presented to us, we reject it, we deny it, and we choose to go with what we've always maintained in our hearts. And that's why then it's so simple for us to come and be excited spiritually at church and clap hands and pretend that we are happy and yet walk out and we are still very much in jail. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? The truth will make you free. Because there is a difference between being set free and being made free. When I'm setting you free, I'm opening the door of the prison. But when I'm making you free, I'm dealing with you as a person. Because many of us, the door has been opened, but we are still in jail. In the way that we think, in the way that we feel, in the way that we desire. We are still very much in jail. Why? Because we don't know the truth. At least we have not accepted the truth as it was presented to us. When God told us who we are, whose we are, what we are capable of, how we are supposed to live our lives, we select only what we are comfortable with. And we allow the devil to still keep us in his prison. By just keeping our soul in prison. And the devil, if he fails in terms of keeping you unsaved, the next thing that he is going to try is to keep your soul still in prison while your spirit goes to church. Speak in tongues, still bound. Give your tithes and offerings, still bound. Lift up hands to sing, still bound. And then we end up with split personalities like I was talking last week. At church, you are one person. During the week, you are a different person. Why? Because at church, you are on a high spiritually. But during the week, the soul is still under the control of the devil. And he does not have to possess your soul. Because once you are born again, he can no longer dwell on the inside of you. But for as long as you are still holding on to his lies, his deception, all he has to do is to whisper from the outside so that he can activate the signal of his deceit on the inside of you. And then one thing will lead to the other. It is the truth of the word of God that can totally set us free. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Why was Paul saying this? He was saying this because he used to observe that it's possible to experience salvation and still be bound again. So he's saying to the Galatian church, when Christ has made you free, hold on to that liberty and don't allow yourself to be entangled again by the world you are coming from. And even today, it's the reality we are faced with. We see Christians who are saved because they came to the altar call. But they were not intentional enough with allowing the word to transform and renew their soul. So that the same liberty they experienced in the spirit can now liberate the soul. Next week we'll talk about the prosperity of the soul, because it's the same concept, that you can be free spiritually, but for as long as your soul believes in poverty, you will be poor even though you are speaking in tongues. You will be broke even though you are speaking in tongues. Because your soul is still holding on to the ideology of poverty. That's a topic for another day. But then God comes and he says, listen, I want to give you the truth. I want to give you Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And that's how we need to see Jesus. He is the way to God. He is the truth that gives liberty to your soul. And until we know him as the truth, until we know Jesus as the truth, that anything that does not match up to his standard is a lie. Do you know that there are Christians who are born again who still believe that you pray to God through ancestors? Oh, okay. Did I offend you? Let me offend you again. There are Christians who come to church. I want to show you how bound we are. We clap hands. We want salvation. But our souls still believe, Vuguti, I can still do this without Jesus. We are saying, kune necessity. Listen, we need to get to a point where we know Jesus as not a truth, not one of the truths, the truth. When he says, no one goes to the Father except through me, we are going to take that as the truth, not an option. And until we experience that kind of liberty, my friend, let me tell you, you will be saved here and nothing much will happen. Because your soul is controlled somewhere. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Before you can experience the kind of life that God has for you, you need to see Jesus for the truth that he is. Listen, the Bible says, his word is truth. The word of God, truth. The Bible says, in the beginning, there was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. That is Jesus. And we need to take him for who he is. The truth that he is, revealed in the entire scriptures. And take and absorb and believe everything that the scriptures tell us. That's why the Bible says when he showed up, he was full of grace and truth. And sometimes his truth is piercing to the heart. Sometimes his truth is offensive. That's why even our gospel and Jesus Christ himself is regarded as the rock of offense. Because when he comes into our lives, he comes to offend us. Offend our ideologies, offend our philosophies, offend the way that we think. He goes against anything and everything that this world has adopted as truth. And until we forsake all of these other things that we have learned and we accepted them as the gospel truth, we will never be totally free. We are so sensitive around our soul. We want goosebumps. You see, when we come for goosebumps at church, we are like people who are coming for a fix. And how many of you know that, if you don't know what a fix is, I don't know how to help you. And how many of you know that a fix does not last long? Slowly, it dies down in your system. And you come back to your real senses. When you are under the influence of this fix, you behave in a certain way. That's why I see why it was Gamoya, you see. That's not biblical, by the way. And the only way you can be sober is when the truth of the word controls the way you think, the way you feel, the way you act. Tina ukuthi isijwayele isiphithiphithi, si-entertain isiphithiphithi, sicabanga ukuthi yibo ubuzalwane. Ubuzalwane akusiyile siphithiphithi esihlala sisibona. Sigcwele umoya kakhulu, asinaqiniso. That's why we are so confusing to the world. That's why I can come and preach an anointed message, spirit, and go and live a life that is contrary to what I've just. Because spiritually, I'm in heaven. And in my soul, I'm in hell. Our salvation is incomplete if it excludes the soul. God did not intend to just save our spirit, just so that we can be connected to Him. God saved our spirit to gain access to our soul. That's the person He wanted to ultimately work on. Because your soul controls the real you. So the Bible talks about how, let me read this scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you, listen, completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If our salvation was a just once-off experience that includes everything, the Bible was not going to mention it separately like this. Because in other words, it means there are some who have not experienced this kind of salvation or sanctification completely. The reason why Satan makes you to be afraid of being discipled is because he knows that when you are discipled, that's when your soul will be set free. I'm tempted to say, evangelism wins your spirit. Discipleship wins your soul. Now you need to understand that when, as the church, we put all these things in place, different classes, different things that you need to attend, is because your soul, listen, my soul and your soul has been deep in darkness for a very long time. And it needs a lot of light. A lot of light. A lot. How many of you know? Ukuthi ungangena erumini ukhanyise iswitch ebondeni kodwa ngaphansi kombhedo kumnyama. Ewardropini kumnyama. How many of you know ukuthi when you walk in you need to make sure ukuthi mangabe you want the light in every corner of the room. Fanele uphendule umbhedo uphekise phezulu ukuze ilight lingene nalapho. Uvule iwardrobe uphenye impahla, let the light penetrate. And that is exactly what God wants to do with our lives. That's why we come back over and over ukuze aphenye man and penetrate in the deep corners of our hearts and let the light of his word begin to shine. Because for as long as there's some little bit of darkness somewhere, Satan will just, that's why Paul said, don't give him a foothold. Because Satan number 22, when he gets slight opportunity, he wants to capitalize. So that's why we need to take us through those sessions. When we say come to the iConnect group, come, it's that thing of flooding your heart with light. We're allowing God to work on your soul. Come to New Believers Experience. Come to I Grow Experience. Come to Ignite Experience. Come to, what are we trying to do? We are flooding your soul with light so that God will not just stop at saving your spirit, but he will continue and save your soul. Angikhulumi ke mawufuna ukuba Sunday only, you'll not survive. Listen, my friend, you can hide esontweni. You can play church, come Sunday only. You're going to have a very difficult Christian life. Let me tell you that. You'll find yourself ungazitholi noma umzalwane noma awusumzalwane noma umzalwane. Ngalilanga uzizwa njengomzalwane, ngalilanga uzizwa njengomhedeni. Ngalilanga uzizwa njengomzalwane, ngalilanga ubona ngathi hayi, mhlambe le nto ifuna ukuncediswa. Ngalilanga uzizwa ngathi uyakhona. Ngalilanga uzizwa ngathi kufanele uthandaze. Ngalilanga uzizwa ngathi kufanele uyoshisa impepho. Ngalilanga uzizwa ngathi kufanele ufaste. Ngalilanga uzizwa ngathi kufanele uyohlaba inkukhu emhlophe enebala elimnyama. Listen, you can't light up this whole building. You can't. That's why there's so many lights all the way to the back. Why? Because funa the whole room. Hey, we come with EPM9 power to try and light up the stadium, which is our life. Hey, Christianity is warfare. Satan does not play games. Especially once you say you are now born again. He says, I guess born. But I truly, really saved. Let's see. I'm just going to come at you and see if you know what you've just involved yourself in. And we are busy playing church. And we think it's about church programs. We need to understand that, especially here in this church, we don't want to make the church experience to be about just a service in Jeyokzo Tiki Register. It has to be something that touches your spirit, your soul, your life. We've got to flood, you know, you've got to be open in worship and connect with God spiritually. You really need to sit down, listen to the word, so that you connect with God through the word in your soul, in your heart. We want the young people to know the truth, so that by the time you get married, you are whole in your soul. Because let me tell you, my friend, uzodopa indoda ekhuluma ngeyilimi kodwa engapheleliswa ngemphefumulweni. You will live in hell. Let me tell you that. You will live with a man who speaks in tongues on Sunday and abuse you on Monday. How we've seen these things. You will live, some of us as pastors, we preach fire down on Sunday and bring hell at home on Monday. What's going on here? It's because we think this is just a manga business, is something that we can be shared. Look, when we were not saved, we were deep, deep in deception, practicing things. We were committed to it. But we are 24/7. Almost every now and then, you used to have serious ceremonies. that kept us deep and lalela. Angazi mhlawumbe nozalo usindisiwe mina ngagcatshwa kwafaka izinto in my bloodstream. Yeah, because oh mangabe ubaba uphethe iz razor zangikhekeze kwakho. You are really saved. Kwesinye isikhathi akusike angasaboni la kusike khona ne. Bese khona enye into ekufanele ayigcobise. Ya ezokwenza ukuthi abone ukuthi oh okay naku la. Afake things that went into your blood and you think just by coming and saying one sentence of prayer laphambili those things will just come out of your system just like that. You have another thing coming. So thina masikubiza sifuna ukuzofaka. You see, sitting in hours of being taught the word. Siyafaka uze kuphume lezi. Like I was saying yesterday, we were talking to couples. 9 to 4 o'clock. Wazi wathi omunye mama ayi cha unestamina shame. Not mina, yes. It's because besilindela mina ngibuya endaweni la bekulindelwa khona. Asazilindelelani mara ke besilindela. The whole night we never used to complain. Ma bathi kufanele uzohamba uye endaweni ukuthi we used to do those things to make sure ukuthi lezi zinto they sink in. That's why then the Bible says, listen, in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 9, because our salvation is an experience that is progressive. The Bible says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. It's a process, my friend. It's a process. He has delivered us, masiza ku altar call. And he is still delivering us. Masiloko singena, mawutshela ukuthi kuzoba nelanga la uzograduate khona kuthiwe wow, you are now a perfect Christian. That's not good. That's why little Bible, he will still yet deliver us even 20 years from now. There will still be a need to come and hear the word. You see, you need to be an overcomer type of a Christian and be victorious in every area. And God wants us to be totally victorious in every area and aspect of our life. Kungabi khona izinto ezosinqoba. Zikuphathise kwesigcila. I want to close. So the word of God now is very critical in the salvation of our souls. Because in the book of James chapter number 1 verse 21, the Bible says, it is the implanted word which is able to save your soul. We need to go for the word of God for the salvation of our souls. We need to fall in love with the word of God. It needs to be implanted in our heart. It must not just be memorized, but it needs to be implanted, engraved in our souls. And that's the only way we are going to experience salvation even in our souls. We are going to experience the circumcision of the heart. Cutting away of the flesh tendencies through the sword of the word of God. Why is that? Because the word of God is able to make you wise so that you can make the right decisions for your life. Make the right decisions, for it will sharpen your mind, sharpen your spirit, so that you are going to be of quick understanding. The Bible says it makes us wise. You have got to be a wise believer. And believe you me, you will not build anything without wisdom. We need the wisdom of God. But it comes through the implanted word in our hearts. able to save us from all the deception, the lies that were presented before us, things that we were told, forced to believe in them, forced to adopt them and apply them in our lives. And little did we know that those things are keeping us in prison. Little did we know that those things, Satan uses them to keep us in some corner somewhere and maintain us so that we cannot experience the fullness of the blessing that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am telling you, Bazalano, we need to be intentional. And that's why the Lord has given us this word, because I believe that He wants us to be totally free. He wants us to know that He has redeemed our soul. And the devil has no right to control us. The devil has no right over our soul. That's why God wants us to experience true salvation for our souls. Not just for our spirit, but for our soul. Therefore, we need the word of God, which is the wisdom of God. We need to draw the wisdom of God from the scriptures and use it to truly save our souls. The Bible says, he who wins a soul is wise. It does not say he is spiritual. It says he is wise. Therefore, it is when we draw wisdom from the scriptures, allow it to be implanted, engraved in our hearts, adopt it as a philosophy of life. We need to get to a point where we are not going to see alternatives and options to the scriptures. But each time we want solutions in life, we are going to run to the scriptures. When we want to build our lives, we are going to run to the scriptures. When we want to build our families, we are going to run to the scriptures. When we want to build our businesses, we are going to run to the scriptures. We are going to put them first. Let the authority of the word of God come back in our lives. And that's how we are going to be wise enough to win souls. Even as the church, we need to be wise with the wisdom of the word of God, so that we can be effective in soul winning. But for now, I feel that sometimes we are losing the ground. Yes, we are filling churches, but people are still held captive in their souls because we have not managed to package properly the wisdom that is in the scriptures, so that people will see their lives, the solutions of their lives from the scriptures, the solutions of my marriage from the scriptures, the solutions for my business from the scriptures. And until we are able to do that, that's why today, when we sit down with people to try and give them counsel from the word of God, people don't hear us. And they want alternatives. They want us to say something intelligent. Why? Because sometimes we choose to be too spooky with the spiritual things. We are unable to bring them down to the level of a human being so that they can see that this is a principle that I can be able to apply. That's why when we say go to the Connect group, we want you to experience other people who are going to make it easy for you to understand, taking what I have preached to bring it down to the level of the day-to-day living and know how do I connect this word to my everyday situation and make the word of God to be relevant in our lives and make the word to become flesh. We need to preach the word of God as the church, which is the wisdom of God. The Bible tells us, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. In other words, preach the wisdom of God. This world is not going to be saved by motivational speaking, but this generation is going to be saved by us preaching the pure word, the pure wisdom of God. That's why sometimes we end up failing as the church, coming with alternatives to try and convince people to stay in church. Let me tell you something, my brother, my sister. What will keep people in church, it is the word of God that is rooted in their hearts, planted in their spirit, so that they will know for sure. That's why then, even if we have the lights the projectors, the ripped jeans and all, they must not be at the expense of the word of God. Because if there's no word, people are going to die. While clapping hands, while speaking in tongues. So as I close, then God reveals to us through the scriptures that His intention is to save us completely, even in our souls. Even in our souls. Because it is only when our souls are free that we can praise God freely, serve Him effectively, and be fruitful in our walk with Him. Listen to what Psalm 143 says in verse 3. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness, like those who have long been dead. You can't be a child of God and be experiencing such in your soul. This was a psalmist praying, pleading with God, saying to Him, the enemy has persecuted my soul. He was realizing that nangu Satan uncreatedly havoc empilweni yami lo ngumntwana kaNkuluNkulu. And this is because Satan knows very well that despite us being born again, if we don't know how to defend ourselves, there is a lot that he can achieve in our lives by just simply tormenting our souls. Play games with your soul. Play with your emotions. Namhlanje, you are high, kusasa you are low. Broken. Because we don't know how to defend ourselves. Psalm 142 verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. So the psalmist understands that I can't praise effectively if my soul is still in prison. I can be pretending to be dancing, singing songs, but it will not be praise flowing from my heart. You'll be singing one thing with your mouth, but your heart will be saying the opposite of what you are singing. That's why Jesus at some point, He said, they worship me with their mouth, but their hearts are far away from me. So we need to get to a point where we are going to make this prayer that I have read when we started. Psalm 17 verse 13. Arise, O Lord. Confront him. This one who has been persecuting me. This one who has been troubling me. This one who has been trying to keep my soul in prison. The psalmist says, arise, O Lord. Confront him. We need to allow the Lord to confront the enemy in our soul. To even confront us. Because sometimes we are the enemies of our souls. We are exposing our souls to things that are busy destroying our souls. And sometimes the Lord we need to allow Him to confront us. And many of us must forgive us on doing. And when I preach like this, we take offense because we are being confronted. Sometimes we are the ones who take our souls. Echualin. Take your soul. Listen, mawuyo lala lapha e back room. Nomfana ongashadanga naye. Awuhambisanga umzimba wakho. You are taking your soul there. Oh, you are not reading your Bible, ne? Little Bible, he who commits sexual sin sins against his own soul. That is what the Bible says. You sin against your own soul. Chance. Maluku hamba. ungashati uyahloma la nalapho uyahloma nalapho uyahloma. You are destroying your own soul. And you are becoming one with every person. That's why many of us siphila nabantu esihamba nabo. Akusaphili wena kukhona imphefumulo phakathi kwakho. Because the Bible says mawulala nalo umuntu uba moya munye naye so. That's why our lives become so complicated. Because we are not just dealing with this one person. Kukhona uzodwa nozanele no Sophie. Ongamazi ukuthi ubuyapi. It's the soul. It's the soul. It's the soul. That's why when you are committing sexual sin, it means you don't care ngempilo yakho. You don't care about your destiny. So the devil makes you use your body. You are having fun in your body. And you don't know it's at the expense of your soul. Your soul was so much contaminated, broken. But today God can still save your soul. You can cry out like the psalmist here. And say, oh God, save my soul from the wicked one. Realize that the wicked one is after your soul. And cry out to God, the one who truly cares about your soul. Surrender to him and say, save my soul. And listen to what he says. He says, with the sword. Understanding that your word will pierce my heart for the salvation of my soul. I'm going to experience pain. Lalel, when you go for surgery, esibhedlela bayokusika, their intention is not to hurt you. They are curing you by cutting you. And sometimes you need to endure the pain of being cut for the sake of being cured. And many of us, we run away from the cut. And that's why we remain unhealed, uncured. We remain broken, messed up in our soul. Because each time the Lord takes out the sword, we run away. But let me tell you, my friend, the sword is not to kill you. The sword is to save your soul from the wicked one. Sometimes the sword will cut you because it is the double-edged sword. It will cut you while cutting away the enemy. Sometimes mawuzamukuza umfana ombonayo ukuthi ugangela umntana wakho uthi mawuxosha yena umxosha umthuka ukuthi hamba mawubuya ukhipha ibhande ufaka isibhaxu nala emntwaneni wakho ukumphaphamisa ukuthi yay. And you are not trying to kill your child. But sometimes little Bible ubulwa ubukhishwa induku. Ubula bethu ubukhishwa inkemba kaJehova. Because those he loves, he corrects, he rebukes. God cares about your soul. God loves your soul. Jesus paid a price for your soul. That's why he wants to do a complete work. Umsebenza uqalile, mvumela uqethe. Mvumela uphelelise. Mvumela qhubeke. It will be painful, my brother, my sister. Sometimes you are going to weep, not knowing why am I crying. It's because the sword is after your heart. The sword is after your soul. penetrating deep down to deal with the wounds of the past, to deal with the scars of life, to deal with the pain, the hurt, the brokenness, the disappointment, with the darkness and the complications. Allow him. Endure the cut for the sake of the cure. The cut will not kill you, but it will cure you. The cut will not destroy you, but it will heal you. The cut will not steal anything away from you, but it will restore you. UNkulunkulu ufuna ukuphelelisa. That's all that God is interested in. And sometimes we hide certain areas of our lives. We don't want God to come closer. Because we see, go to this, too many, listen, ayikho into ekuyenzeka empilweni yakho uNkulunkulu angayazi. Absolutely nothing that you can hide from. He knows, he was there when it happened. But because of where we were in life, he could not interfere with certain things. That's for him to answer. But all that I know is that now he wants you to allow him to come close and get in there. And once he starts working, my friend, you will see. You will see your life turn around like this. From glory to glory. From strength to strength. From faith to faith. From prosperity to prosperity. From blessing to blessing. From healing to healing. And sooner or later, you are going to be made whole. Let's stand on our feet. Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much and keep on building.